And welcome back to G220 Radio. If you're just tuning in, we are talking about repentance with Mark. And right before the break, we were talking about repenting of good works. And that may be something that you're thinking, what do you mean repent of good works? Mark, I'm sorry I had to cut you off there for the break, but if you want to go ahead and finish that thought to explain what you're talking about when you say repenting of good works.
Well, it's self-righteousness could be the greatest sin, because when I claim that I am good, separated from God, I am actually putting myself on the same level as God. It's really the devil's ultimate plan is to be like God without God. And to say that my good works are accumulating merit before God is a serious offense, and people need to be called out on it. And it's interesting, as I've been preaching and talking to people one-on-one, you know, I say to people, I call them out and say, look, I know even today you have looked at somebody and said, I'm glad I'm not like that person. Have you not? And I've yet to have somebody argue with me, because they all realize that they're doing that in their mind. They're saying, I am better than that person, or I'm better than this other group of people. And in our culture, it's very easy to do. I mean, you turn on the news and somebody's getting shot and, you know, all kinds of terrible things. And it's easy to look at other people and say, I'm not like them, therefore I must be good. And that has to be exposed, I believe, to be brought to true repentance. Now, to what degree that has to be exposed, I don't know. I'm not going to argue and say that, you know, you have to fully understand all aspects of depravity in order to repent, because obviously then none of us would repent, because none of us have a full grasp of depravity. However,
right.
I do think that if your only view of your sin is the bad things you've done, I find it very hard to believe that you can be brought to repentance, because it's only a superficial repentance. You're only repenting thinking that these bad things are the reason you're going to hell. No, a person's going to hell because their whole life is at variance with God, that we are set against God by nature. Therefore, when I do something in my human nature that is, you know, outwardly good in some sense on a human level, and then I take glory in that, that's the worst sin, because at that point I'm saying, look how good I am without God, and that needs to be repented of, and people need to be called out on it. And I think the Lord has led me more and more into that. And in that passage in Romans chapter 3, verse 20 through 4, 6, I think the key passage is in 4, 5, when he says, to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So God justifies the ungodly. He doesn't justify people who think they're good. He justifies people who know that they are vile and wretched, and that even their good deeds are filthy rags before God. To repent is to agree with God that I am his enemy. I have no love for him. I am corrupt by nature. And in Romans 1:30, Paul uses this word, haters of God. And I really think people need to be shocked into reality. I've been using that term on the streets a lot. Did you ever know that you're a hater of God? In Ephesians 2:2, that we're the children of disobedience, walking according to the course of this world, you know, according to the prince of the power of the air. You know, if we're not born again, we are marching to the orders of the devil. And people need to be
that's one.
Up to this.
Yeah, and that's one that I know people don't like to hear, because I've said that to people on the streets as well. You know, we're born haters of God. And I've said that to people. They're you're either a child of God or a child of the devil. You know, you're at war with God. If you're not in Christ, you're at enmity with the Lord. And people will say, "No, I don't hate God," or "I don't." You know, they have not repented of their sins. They have not been brought to true. They haven't been justified and brought to true saving faith in Christ. But that is one thing they'll say. Well, I don't hate God, you know, but the scriptures tell us.
The answer to that is they don't hate the God of their minds. And I've explained, just a guy on Saturday said that to me. And I responded by saying, well, yeah, you don't hate the God of your own making. And then explained that to him further. And actually he grasped it. It was good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a good way to respond to them, because that's what people mostly do is that, like you said, they don't hate the God of their mind because they've created in their mind an image of God who reflects them and how they want to live out their life rather than submitting to what God tells us who he is and what he commands of us and what he, you know, well, basically commands of us in his word. And so people want to, you know, create that image in their mind to live that out. And so the God that they worship doesn't have a problem with them continuing in their sin, doesn't have a problem with them or them being a hater of God because they don't hate, like you said, the God that they've created in their minds. So yeah, definitely a lot there to really grasp and understand, because it is important. The sin of self-righteousness, the sin of seeing ourselves as a good person and seeing the things that we do as good, and the emphasis that you showed us here with Paul saying, you know, it's not of works, not of works, not of works, over and over again to say, look, it's not of works, you know, because we do tend to justify ourselves. I mean, being someone who does street preaching, and I know there's a lot of street preachers out there.
Can I say something about that, though, the not of works?
Sure.
That's something that's active. That is not, when Paul says not of works, particularly there in 4:5, to him that worketh not, that's not a, see, we think that as long as I say it's not of works, that I'm good. No, no, no. You have to actually actively stop working. It's not just to say in your mind, salvation is not of works. And I run into a lot of those people that say that. And I say, yes, you say that, but have you stopped working? And a lot of Arminians are stuck, and they'll say, well, yeah, salvation is not of works. But have you stopped working for it? That's the question. It's an active thing. And that is I think it's a good thing to call people out on that.
Yeah. Now clarify that too. And I see, I understand what you're saying, but clarify that for the listeners, because someone might be listening and saying, well, yeah, it's not of works. What do you mean stop working? Should I not obey God? Should I not go to church? Should I not share the gospel? Should I not give tithes? Should I not do certain things? It kind of explain that, because I see what you're saying there. You know, we're not to be trusting in our works and trusting in those things and saying, yeah, this is how I'm good. This is how I know I'm saved. But true fruit is an evidence of true, genuine repentance and belief in Christ, that being justified. So you want to compare, you know, maybe explain the difference there?
Yeah, I just learned in the last few months through meditating on Galatians 2 and Romans 3 and 4 and 5, that I actually don't think that there is a true antinomian out there. Because antinomians are actually, and what an antinomian is for your listeners, it's people who we say they have a license to sin. You know, people who say, I got grace, so therefore it doesn't matter if I sin. That's antinomianism. And so, but what I've done with those people is, this is a good sequence that I've used on the streets. So when somebody comes up to me and I say, are you going to heaven when you die? And they say, yes. And then I say, well, how do you know? They say, I accepted Jesus as my savior. Then most of the time I respond by saying, oh, okay. So I can receive Jesus as my savior, and then I can live as a drunkard and an adulterer, and I'll go to heaven, right? And 90% of the time, they'll say, no, no, that's not how it works. And I say, oh, well, what else do I have to do besides accept Jesus? And again, 90% of the time, they'll start making a list. They'll say you have to go to church, you have to pray, you have to, you know, some of them will say you have to be baptized or whatever they believe. And then once they're done making the list, and I let them make the list as long as they will, keep saying, is there anything else? You sure there's nothing else? And once they're done making the list, and then I clarify it for them, I say, okay, so what you're saying is I have to receive Jesus as my Savior, and I have to do these other things, and that's how I get saved. And most of them will say yes. And those people, even though they're antinomian in their lifestyle, they might drink or, you know, watch R-rated movies, or and they just do things that are overtly sinful, and they're antinomian. They think it's okay because they're saved. You know, they're using grace as a license to sin, as we would say. But really, they're legalists. They truly are. They're truly still depending on their works to save them, even though they say that Jesus is my Savior. Now, the more theologically sound ones won't take that route, but honestly, on the streets, I don't know if I've ever had anybody not follow that line of thought. So what I mean by turning from your works, John Bunyan said that a man will not turn to Christ until all other options are exhausted. In other words, we will always go back to our good works until we are converted. And so, yes, works are the result of salvation, but works do not bring us to salvation. Salvation in its very essence is regeneration. It's being born again. It's being quickened. And when we're born again, that's when we will understand our sin and repent and believe. So repentance and faith, in the New Testament, at times they're almost used interchangeably, because repentance is turning from your sin, and then faith is turning to Christ. Well, if you could picture it, like right in the middle there, the two are crossing and almost overlapping. And repentance is turning from my sin and going to Christ. So when I see Christ, I'm always being drawn away from my sin, which in part is my self-righteousness. And Ricky, when we're brought to this work of the Spirit, we will do more good works than anybody. Paul said, you know, I'd labor them more than they all, but not I, but the grace of God in me. When the Holy Spirit regenerates you and shows you your true depravity and you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, this will lead you into more prayer, more Bible reading, more evangelism, but not because you think those things are saving you, but because of your love for the Lord Jesus. So I think your question is following a good line of thought as far as, like, if it's not of works, then how do works fit into salvation?
Yeah.
I hope that all makes
sense.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it did. I just wanted to clarify that, because I know some people was listening, and that what came into my mind is the listeners thinking, okay, well, then what do you mean? Okay, I know we're not saved by works, but – you know, a lot of times we think of, like you said, when you talk to the guy on the street, we add on these things, and really we're legalists undercover, not realizing we are. But yeah, that sin of self-righteousness, the pride, we have to be very careful that we're constantly asking God to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within Him, and to, continue to repent daily. It's sometimes I think we get this. I think a lot of people that I've talked to on the streets, probably you as well, brother, that, they think that repentance, they have a wrong view of repentance to begin with, many people, but they think it's that they've done that once before when they were 10 years old, you know, and it's not a daily thing. We're to die to ourselves daily. So we're going to need to continue to be in this process of sanctification. When you're truly saved, you're justified. But in this process of sanctification, there are going to be things that the Lord reveals to us when you're reading scripture and you're reading something and something pops out and says, man, I've been sinning against the Lord. And he reveals that to you. We're repenting of that. We're turning then from that sin. And as you said, then turning to the Lord to help us to remove that sin in our life. And it's a daily thing.
Yeah, and
right?
It's inward. Repentance is inward. And that's yeah. important. I hear a lot of street preachers calling people to outward repentance. That is not repentance. Repentance will always lead to an outward change. Absolutely. But repentance is the change of the mind. It is changing my mind from thinking that the bad things I do is sin and the good things aren't. It's changing from that to seeing that I am totally depraved. I have not done one good thing in my life. And that is inward. Now, that inward change will always produce outward fruit. But you need to be careful. Repentance is not outward. It is inward. And then it will be
Absolutely.
Seen outward. And I hear people on the streets calling people to actually stop doing certain things, and that's repentance. And that is not repentance. Your mind needs to be changed ever before you can, and your mind and emotions need to be changed before you can ever stop doing things outwardly.
Right. Absolutely, brother. And I've heard it as well out on the streets many times from the Pelagians that are out there, but they call people to stop sinning. Before they call them to what real repentance is, as you said, that inward change, that inward turning, then turning to Christ, repent and believe, they do go together. It's like it's hand in hand. It's not something that you do this and then you do that later. No, it's they go together. It's repentance and belief. It's interchangeable, like you said. So we're just about out of time for tonight's show. Really good show. I hope this was really a blessing to the listeners. I know I was blessed by it, and something we really need to think about, especially many of the audience that are street preachers that are out there that may listen to the show, because the pride or the self-righteousness can definitely creep in when you're standing on a box or you're standing behind a pulpit and you're preaching to people what they need to turn from. Or these types of sins, the word types of sins, we need to be very careful that we ourselves are practicing what we preach and doing the same, and that our walk with the Lord is not an outward thing that we're trying to do to earn that and say, well, I've gone out this week and I've shared the gospel with this many people, so you know, I got to be okay with God.
Yeah.
Because I believe there are a lot of people out there that do that, you know.
Mm-hmm. It'll happen without us even trying unless we're consciously working against it.
Right.
Because that's just a natural way that we think that, oh, I'm doing this, so I'm okay. But the Lord is continually teaching me anything I do that is good, it is of him. Anything I do that is not, it is of me. So just the Lord gets all the glory for anything we do. Praise his name, and anything on the negative side, that's me.
Yeah. Absolutely, brother. Well, I want to thank you for coming on. I know we mentioned off the air, we talked about, you know, maybe talking about the fear of God if we had extra time, but that would be something maybe I'd love to have you come back on again sometime in the near future and talk about the fear of God and anything else. We might, you know, be able to just chat about. It's always a pleasure to have you come on, brother. I'm always blessed by it, having you on to just share the things that the Lord's showing you and teaching you, and you're teaching others as well. And it's a blessing to have you on to do that for us.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thanks for having me, Ricky. And-